Welcome back! Today on Mystery Theater, who is Kamen Rider Kronos? Yes, the biggest mystery of the season, the biggest plot bomb dropped since Persona 4 is the identity of this mystery rider! Let's review the suspects! Looking at the appearance of Kamen Rider Kronos, two candidates come to mind first. Dan Kurodo. But wait, didn't he just die? Guess who else died? Kujo Kiria. But wait, he's being revived, not once, but twice. Once in Cho Super Hero Tyson and once for the laser special. Is it so out of the question that Dan could come back? While Graphite proved that receiving flowers no longer means shit, that they're done with him in the show, Dan definitely did not receive flowers, at least as far as we know. So it could be said that people who game over could be respawned, like loading a save game file. Would Dan just die and let someone else be god of his game? Only time will tell. But wait! Our second prime contender, the other rider with that style of hair. Hojo Emu, you might guess? And sure, he's not impossible. But look deeper within and you'll find the second real contender, Tensei Gamer M, the original Bugster. Could he possibly be fed up living inside Emu, since he has Maximum Mighty X now and isn't using Mighty Brothers X Double X so much anymore? Could he be looking for a chance to get out? For an even greater challenge? A greater power? Only time will tell! But wait! Those two aren't our only contenders! Let's review a recently established fact! Kamen Rider Kronos uses the Buggle Driver too! Who do we know who has the only one in existence at this time? Poppy Peepopopo! Could her brainwashing potentially become even worse? Could she get her hands on one of the publicly available Kamen Rider Chronicle gadgets? Or a special one right from the bowels of Genmu Corp, and use it to bring forth the Ultimate Rider! But wait! Could there be more candidates? What about Pallad? Fuck no, he's getting his own level 99. But wait! For only time will tell! Who is Kamen Rider Kronos?
Wow, that was the worst Dragon Ball Z recap I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't like it.
I thought it was pretty great.
Cue the roll call.
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Webcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment Wielder. Bluecaster. Cheetah Zazil.
Loyal and Lab. Beatcaster. Light Red.
Explorer from the Unknown. Yellowcaster. Auto Guard.
One little spark of courage. Dreamcaster. Global Soft Perga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome everyone to episode 147 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Ichi, what the fuck was that?
That was my pitch for like a Kamen Rider mystery murder show type deal.
Okay.
But why was it Markiplier?
Because his voice is hot shit right now.
I mean, it's always been hot shit.
Are you calling
You're not
him
even subscribed to him, I am.
Are you calling him shit?
No, I love Markiplier, he's hilarious.
But you just call him a hot piece of shit.
No, I said hot shit. It's a fucking expression.
You know I don't... Ah, that was my knee.
That's my knee!
That's how I felt, like, 6 months ago.
So, we've got all five core casters here tonight, even though two of them haven't spoken up yet.
Yep.
Legit,
that's your cue to say hi.
Oh, wait, it is? I thought it was Raven.
No, she said two.
Sorry, hi. I'm actually back this week. Thank you so much for having me. And it seems that me being here every other week is the new me and Gar can't be in the same room at the same time.
Except you are!
But wait!
What are you guys talking about? I'm on my own plane of like existence right now.
I'm in the game world.
Don't get deep with this, bro, right?
Whoa. I'm on my own complete different level. Because, unlike you guys, I can see the person that is currently on our floor right now.
Shh. We don't talk about that.
We'll talk about
why I came to Gar.
For all your Ultraman facts.
The newbie Garning.
You'll regretting ever meeting Gar Ricker in your entire life.
All right. Let's get to X-Aid, people.
This week we're talking about X-Aid episode 26, Q-Ranger episode 9, and the second Kamen Rider Ghost Hyper Battle video.
Which
we've been referring to as the Saiyanji special.
Which actually wasn't that bad.
Shh. You're going to give Ghost a swelled head.
Alright, so...
this episode sucked.
No.
Kindly go fuck yourself.
I'm joking.
Okay, just in... honestly, in response to your whole pitch about Kamen Rider Kronos, my theory is, what if he isn't anybody? What if he's just the final boss of Kamen Rider Chronicle? What if he's just the bugster of Kamen Rider Chronicle?
I actually also like that theory.
What if it's all the data just gathered from everything? And just becomes a motherboard.
Yeah, because, like, the Bugsters and, like, Chronicle and everything have been powered by combat data, so maybe if all the data of everyone fighting in Chronicle accumulates, and then let's just say that Poppy gets her Buggle Driver 2 swiped, or there could be another one, who knows. And then, yeah, I'm totally okay with also the idea that Kronos is just an original character.
Or everything could point to it being one person, but then a random character we've never seen before can show up out of nowhere and be the person who has
You mean how they introduced Kamen Rider Birth?
I have no idea who that is, but I'm talking about Cure Ace.
And his name is John Cena.
A big speculation and
sorry,
proof
everyone.
That a big speculation and proof that it might be M as Kronos is because if you look on the Chronicle Gash at like the part that shows up in the Buggle Driver 2, he's doing like X-Aid's pose, like, you know, arm to the side and arm up in the air like X-Aid does. So that's what M does for his pose. So people are speculating that's M. Which honestly, that would just be cool. Just Emu fighting M. Just fighting himself.
Maybe Pallad, like, extracts M from Emu and puts him into Kronos.
There you go. Maybe that's Pallad's plan all along, was to get M out of Emu somehow, because...
it's Pallad's plan. I'm sorry, I'm just so excited to be back that I'm being a moron. I'm sorry.
No,
thanks,
sorry.
Jesus. It's pronounced Jesus, but alright.
Now kill them all. So, the episode opens with the Ministry recalling Kamen Rider Chronicle, because it's killing people!
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Ministry was doing some really stupid shit, too. Like, what's the guy's name again?
Hinata?
He's like, they're asking, the news reporters are, like, asking him questions, like, that are relevant to, because he's trying to get everyone not to, like, use the Chronicle gadget anymore. And it's like, they're asking questions like, oh, but don't they vanish and stuff like that and die? Like,
don't you guys work for Denmark Corp?
Yeah, don't you work for Denmark
Corp?
All
of the things that he's been saying repeatedly, they don't want to reveal to the public because it'll cause mass panic.
Yeah, but then that would stop people from playing the game.
Yes, it would also make people freak the fuck out.
Whatever stops them from playing that game.
Who are you, Justin Trudeau, and only stick to one answer?
Whoa.
Yeah, I went political.
We don't go political on the show. Not really. No. Only one Sal's here.
Poor Paul.
What do you think, Sal? Oh, yeah, that's really good.
I miss Sal.
I miss Sal, too.
Where the fuck has Sal been?
Is he
working out every day?
Working out.
Yeah, man. Gotta get ready for the Tournament of Power. Right, Raven?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting ready for Cast Rangers Tournament Arc.
Whoa.
Can we do that?
Oh, I'm sure I could finish.
Oh, everyone knows I'd kick all your asses. Except for Emily.
Or can make it happen before you even show up.
I'm the one with the healing, reviving axe, so fuck all of you.
No weapons.
No, you have to use your weapons.
No, man, martial arts tournament. Hand-to-hand combat.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I know the sacred art of origami.
Anyway, thank
you, Ella Enchanted, for that reference. I've never heard that line before.
No?
Yeah, and Ella Enchanted, she's just like, I know the sacred art of origami. You mean paper folding? Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't know what that is. I love that movie.
Just makes paper shurikens, kicks their asses
anyway.
That's
my favorite.
Anyways, let's get on to the feature of this episode.
Kamen Rider
Poppy!
Hey, don't stay out of my fucking head, alright?
Kamen Rider Poppy People Popo.
How dare I know what I was going to say?
Kamen Rider
Poppy People. I'm so happy about the Tokimeki Crisis Gashin because it's another Poppy Gashin. So when I get my Dormy from a B Poppy Gashin, I can just take those two Gashins and put them in the Gamer Driver and I'm just going to have Poppy goodness.
The really creepy part is like when you push the button and like it says the name of the game. It's Poppy's voice, but like really like pitched down
sinister.
And evil.
Yes, yeah, sinister.
Tokimeki Crisis.
You mean like when she was fucking saying Henshin?
Yeah.
Holy shit, her voice went deep when Henshin. She said that.
Oh so, yeah, I love Henshin. It.
Oh well, Jesus.
Someone's PMS.
So, as expected, her Henshin is like a stock sequence that is straight out of a Maho Shoujo. And it's gorgeous and brilliant, and even the song is completely on point. It's like a
simulation.
I'm gonna look. I don't remember the whole lyrics, so I'm gonna look it up.
And what's interesting is we know she's gonna eventually turn back to being good because you see like the blue eyes, and then just quickly goes to red. So
okay, so the line is "Dreaming girl, koi no simulation, otome wa itsu mo tokimeki crisis."
Tokimeki Crisis.
Yeah, so it's like completely on point with Poppy and her whole shtick. So, and apparently she's been cast in Kamen Rider Chronicle as an admin of the rules because she appears to beat down Exade, who's trying to help the ride players. It's like, no, you're an enemy. You're still supposed to be fighting them.
Yeah, people penalty.
Yeah.
Poppy people panic.
So, as this is happening, Snipe comes up and starts trying to shoot her because Taigen never gave a fuck about Poppy anyways.
But no. Then, can't touch his...
She literally backhands his Magnum right out of his fucking hand. And I'm like, holy shit!
I'm starting to notice that Snipe doesn't use, you know, the rifle mode on his gun anymore.
Well, it's for distance shots when there's, you know, someone else fighting it. Oh, but if she's fighting him, then she can't
like,
aim proper.
It's like, wow, Poppy's really going at it.
She, like, cartwheels around his bullets and shit. It's really funny.
And then what's cool is we got to hear, like, the Buckle Driver 2 go, like, Kime Waza. And I'm like, it sounds so sinister.
Before even that, we actually see her, like, pull the belt off and use it in the chainsaw mode, which is something Genmu never did.
Yeah, Genmu Zombie Gamer
like
never
toys.
Did. I should have my Genmu wielding, like,
we found out, or at least I actually dug into this. I'm like, you know what? Who is the suit actor for Kamen Rider Poppy? Jiro Uchikawa.
It's a man.
Not just any man. It's a Yellow Buster from Go Busters.
Oh, there you go.
So I guess this guy plays female heroes.
That's the only role that he's known for.
Okay, so the male suit actor for female heroes.
For Kamen Rider.
Which makes it really awkward when you think about that one shot after she's defeated Emu and it literally pans around a close-up shot of her ass.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if that was actually Poppy's actor just in the suit for that shot. No.
He was mostly just, like, monsters in Kamen
Rider. She has an attack called Critical Crusade, which she, like, fucking spins around and sends out hearts in different shapes. She just goes, whee!
Yeah, she does like a chase spin.
Care Bear stare.
Care Bear stare.
Care Bear picking up the spare.
I don't know.
So, Pilat explains that they've reset Poppy's save data.
This was honestly kind of hard to talk about because it made me think of Wreck-It Ralph.
Wait a minute, save. So they pulled a Lotso from Toy Story 3 by putting Buzz Lightyear back into his demo mode?
It's more like they
basically.
Pulled that entire world of Sugar
yeah.
Rush.
So the Poppy we knew from, like, the beginning of the series till now, completely gone.
I'm pretty sure Emu will, like, reprogram her back to her senses.
Yeah, we'll
spoilers.
See. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason that a lot of people are confident she'll come back is if you look at the scan we first saw of Kamen Rider Poppy, her eyes are blue.
Yeah,
not
no, that's
red.
What I'm saying. Like when she transformed, you saw her eyes were
go
blue,
red.
And then just immediately turned red.
So yeah, she's gonna be good again in like less than 5 episodes.
God, I hope Poppy doesn't die at all. That'd suck.
No, everyone.
Speaking of dying, Pilat brought up something that we've been poking fun about. Poppy is a bugster. She a completed bugster,
yep.
Which means someone had to die.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
I kind of spoiled that for myself, so I know who it was.
Oh, well, don't say it.
Don't say it.
I'm not.
What was great, like, one of my favorite shots, scenes in this episode was when, like, Tiger's just hanging out with Nico or whatever like that, and then just Graphite shows up, and the look on Tiger's face, like, the fuck, but I, we killed you, no, and he's no. like, haha, nope.
Nah, nah. It was more like, sees Graphite, you have got to be fucking kidding me.
No, Graphite just walks up to Tiger, surprise, motherfucker!
Get on my level, bitch!
Revived, motherfucker.
No, literally. Like, if you want
to
fight me,
to the game
advance
to, my,
to the game.
To
and
my
so
level.
Now, so now Tiger's just like, I'll be the one to beat Colorado Chronicle. And I'm just like, of course you are, Tiger. Of course. And Nico will help you along the way.
I like how our patient of the week, Tenma, is like spends the episode calling up an actual raid party.
I mean,
yeah.
a smart person.
Legit, he tweeted out, it's like, yo, let's go kill these motherfuckers.
Yeah,
let's
like,
team the fuck up.
Even Nico saw it, was like, wow, some scrubs, like, gathering a party, and
yeah.
Tiger's like, I don't fucking care.
They're pulling the Sword Art Online logic, or Sword Art Online to Bridge logic. Hurry right, up and hit it!
Every man
guys.
For himself!
Squad B, stop playing Bejeweled!
Holy fuck, someone get control!
Yes.
So,
so now
I'm just afraid, like, what will happen if Hero finds out that Graphite's alive?
Oh, he's
like
mad.
Everything.
Because
he thinks that he's avenged Saki.
No, but
so.
Think of it. He's like, Emu, yeah? Give me 99. Look, give it.
But it has my face on it. No, fuck you.
Put sticker on
it.
Which is the brave.
He was about to use Mighty Action X that one time. I don't think that would stop him.
Remind me. That was cock blocking is all hell.
I know. Trust me, I'm there.
I'm so excited for that.
Also, Hero's dad's back.
I
showed up for 5 seconds.
Stop! I don't care about you.
I came
be
back.
Be in the show or don't.
I came back to slap the desk many times.
No, and Hero was
no,
too.
No, legit. Every line he did, he kept touching the desk. And then Hero's just like, damn it, stop hitting the desk.
Yeah.
Guys,
even
guys, Dr. Kagami for Conrad Kronos.
Oh no!
It's
no,
the only explanation.
God damn it.
I'm gonna do a Garno right now. No! No! No!
I'm copyrighting that shit.
Yeah.
You owe me money now.
Patenting it.
But on the note of that scene,
uh-huh.
It was kind of interesting just to see after Emu bailed and decided to disobey orders, seeing Hero sitting there, like, mulling things over and, like, you know, I actually kind of agree with him.
Contemplating his entire existence.
Yeah, it's like, you know
am
what?
Am I lawful good or chaotic
you know
good?
What? You know what? When he walked out of here, I was all, no, we should follow our orders. But you know, he's actually fucking 100% right, and I'm really debating just following him.
What does
yep.
it mean to be a doctor? And I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah,
I've
just
never
like,
seen heroes so conflicted
I'm
with himself.
Sorry. I was thinking on the lines of, I am the son of the owner of a hospital. Yeah, qualifications are kind of an important thing.
To quote,
but at the same time, saving patients and keeping them safe
to
is
quote,
kind of a thing.
To use
which
that,
one is more important?
To use that obligatory quote, what am I fighting for? I don't even know where that quote's from.
Mega Man X4.
Oh.
Yeah, when his fucking girlfriend
when,
dies.
When Iris dies in Zero's arms.
Iris.
So, we get a very awesome triple super form Henshin.
Eh. It's nothing will beat that drive
which
triple
I, Henshin. Which I guess counts as us finally seeing Brave go level 5 full dragon on screen. Because they've been dicking us with that Henshin for the last month or so.
Honestly, they should have just split the beta gash it into two. That way Brave can
or
go
you,
level
or you know,
50.
Or, you know, give him a level 100.
Go...
Fair enough.
They should have just hit up Tsukuru and had him, like, copy
yeah,
it.
Why didn't they do that?
They have resources. Use them.
We don't have the budget to bring them back.
They don't have resources. Genmu Corporation is the villain again.
No, Tsukuru is still recovering from the...
He probably
Nico
doesn't have access
the balls.
To... They probably haven't had proper access to that Gashit creator since, well, the whole level 99 X8 thing.
Tsukuru's just, like, locked up in the Genmu building since Ren took over.
Yep.
No, like I said, he's recovering from the freaking hard Nico shot to the balls.
Or that. So we discover this episode that Exit Level 99 can jump out of the mech and fight independently.
It shoots laser beams out of its eyes.
Freaking laser
Raven
beams.
Raven was fucking fangasming the entire time. He's just like, oh my god, this thing's so cool.
God, fuck yeah.
What,
would you say it was like Getter Robo-ing?
Yeah, no, what he was doing in the middle of this fight, jumping out of the mech suit to dodge attacks and then get a better position. It's like what Getter Robo does all the time in the freaking show. There comes an attack, to dodge it, it just splits apart into the three different things and then recombines where
so
it needs
to
go. So
what, Tokyo did that one time?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's actually, that's why when I saw Tokyo do it, I was like, oh god damn it.
Split!
This one's a lot cooler.
Yeah. We found something interesting that Paradox did. When he changed to Fighter Gamer, he actually used the title screen hologram of the game as
a
barrier.
Shield,
yeah,
yeah.
That was fucking bad.
I'm like, no one's done that before. Why not?
Well, because usually they're behind them when they transform. So, but yeah, that was fucking badass. But yeah, Plot got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ!
I'm gonna
never
knock
see
you
Plot
out.
Take such a beating
when
before.
X8 is essentially double his level.
Yep. Even Plot, and then. Yeah, like, when Plot gets defeated, like, he's like, oh, good job, M, but, like, it closes up on his mouth or whatever when he says M, so I'm just like ooh, that's important.
X-Aid was literally about to reprogram the shit out of him, but from the look of it, his attack got blocked by random shit sitting in the warehouse.
Yeah.
What is this, a 1980s Ninja Turtles cartoon?
Yeah,
let's not use our weapons, let's just... use shit.
Maybe.
I'm just gonna fire my Heesots and oh crap, that random crate on the floor seems to have blocked it.
Maybe the reason why, like, they did a close up on, like, his mouth saying M, maybe, like,
Plot's. He's gonna pull the fuck.
Yeah, maybe Plot's just thinking, like, we need to get M.
I'm gonna suck it out of you.
That
Palad means... grabs M by the waist.
But this lends credence to my theory that M is Kronos. Maybe he'll extract M out of Emu and make Kronos. Who knows?
And then they go to California and compete in the Nintendo World Championship.
Fuck yeah. Suck it, Fred Savage.
Mario Brothers
3. Mario Brothers 3. No. That would be the awesome ending.
So, once they're defeated, the raid party decides to hand over their gadgets and leave it up to the professionals.
Just they're all handing them up?
I mean, like, shit. I paid for this game, but yeah, sure, take it so I don't die.
No, someone just walks off of it. Where are you going?
Fuck you, I'm still playing!
No, it's like, dude, we told you you're gonna die if you keep playing.
Worth.
Fuck that, man, I'm just gonna keep it. You know how much I'm gonna get out of this in, like, 50 years?
You mean I found a way to die that involves video games? Sign me the fuck up!
No, it's like, hey, where
that's
are you
what everyone on Tumblr's saying right now.
It's like, dude, where are you going? Dude, I gotta go get another one. Mint and box. Or it's like, how many do you have? 5.
Sell it on shit on eBay. Just like you stack a bunch of gadgets, press them all at once, become like a level 5 ride player.
Oh, God. What
well,
were
the whole joke about how they're brown.
It's safe to say they're all level 2.
Like, they're all brown, and, like, the reason why is because they need to buy DLC to get the other costumes.
Get color skins.
Yes.
Yeah, we posted on the Cast Ranger Facebook. Like Lane asked, I shopped ride players in each of the core casters' colors, and I was like, if we played Rider Colorado Chronicle, I'd buy the customizer DLC.
Well, yeah, no, like, how you have to see in a video game point of view perspective is... Kamen Riders, they have gamer drivers, which is the consoles, and then you can just think of the Chronicle gadgets as, like, a mobile game app on your phone or something.
That's exactly what it is, because it's an augmented reality game.
Yeah, so they have the mobile app, and it doesn't give you anything unless you, like, pay to play or some shit. So.
Yeah, I could totally foresee them doing that, especially since they can update the game, which they're apparently going to do next week, when they talk about whoever clears the game can revive dead players.
Wonder if that includes Kiri and Dan.
Ooh. No, and they're gonna revive all those people that just died.
Yeah.
And then we see Ren's true Bugster form, which
the lover
I
Bugster.
Do like the design because of just how, like, pink it is, but cannot get over the fucking just bouquet of flowers jutting out of his shoulder.
That's a cannon, man.
It probably is.
It's gonna be a
god.
Cannon.
And then
flower cannon.
Lastly, on next week, which I'm looking forward to, Nico steps up to bat.
Yep. And she's gonna fucking
wait. We're
kick
playing
ass.
Baseball.
Oh, that's baseball!
Jaggers!
But yes, Nico's gonna become a ride player herself. which we've been looking forward to.
Tiger's
gonna
baseball
hat on and a backpack.
Tiger's gonna have a
heyday. She put like on the chest plate of like of the ride player suit. She just like put like a Nico sticker on her chest. So it's fucking awesome. Oh man, can't wait. But anyways, guys, it's time to wish upon a star.
Or make a Dragon Ball reference.
Alright, so we're talking about Key Ranger episode 9. Okay, go ahead.
Before we start, I just want to get it out of the way. We are updating the Yosha Lucky count only twice this episode. So bring our total to 42.
Yep. But yeah, so Key Ranger episode 9. Holy fuck, I love Sholongpo. Like,
pretty sure we're all there.
He is best mentor ranger. I'm sorry. Deckamaster can go fuck himself.
Deckamaster's best mentor ranger.
Oh, I think Ryu would kick
him out.
I would love to see them fight.
But Sholongpo's not best mentor.
I think he's best mentor.
Oh, go watch more Sentai, motherfucker.
Okay, I will. But, he's one of my new favorite characters in Key Ranger. Like, he's, like, close to tying with Lucky. Like, really fucking close.
What about Garu?
Oh, I still love Garu. He's hilarious with his whole dog loyalty bullshit that he does.
So the setup for this episode is Ikage and Madoka have kidnapped Spada because he's ignoring orders again.
Yeah, because like he didn't get on the Shishi Voyager when Lucky called in.
Failed.
He's like, I'm sorry, guys. And
a high chef's gotta do what a high chef's gotta do.
But we found out the interesting thing, which this makes me gives me the reason why I love Ryu Violet kind of more so than Ryu Commander. Like, I love Ryu Commander. Like, the entire suit design, like, everything he does, it's fucking awesome. But just, I love Ryu Violet just a little bit more. But it's because
it's because it's a remake, a kit bash of Tokyu Nanako's suit.
Yes.
It's a reuse.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if underneath, like, the Q-Ranger chest piece, like, the Nanago symbol was there. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
They wouldn't do that.
No.
They would make a completely original top, but the rest of the suit was Tokyu Nanako.
So it's not that Lompo is a Q-Ranger. He's not. It's just that he found a way to kind of bend the rules a bit and kind of force a transformation.
He's
so
a bootleg ranger.
Yeah.
Bootleg zones.
And it's fucking awesome. Like, I love the, like, fake Ryukyutama, like, and I'm so glad they're releasing a Gashapon version of it, so thank God.
The interesting thing, when you really consider this, so he created the Ryutsuator, which is a system designed to force a skill Kyutama to create a ranger form. Could this possibly be used on other skill Kyutama, I wonder? I know we probably won't see it used, but just thinking about the possibilities is exciting.
No, because the toy, if you put in any other Kyutama, it just says Ryu Kyutama, so it doesn't read any other ones.
I'm not just talking about the toy, I just mean in-universe.
I mean, we have two other Rangers who are coming in at the very least here.
Yeah.
If you count Sky Blue to be two different Rangers.
He does use two different Kyutama, but it's the same Ranger.
Yeah.
Koguma Sky Blue is the one he uses to transform, and Oguma Sky Blue is the one he uses to grow giant. So it's the same ranger, but two different forms.
Yeah.
I'm just tired. I'm just stuck in this position.
Okay. Anyways.
But yeah, so we get deeper into Lompo's character, and you get to see some flashbacks of him, like, as a young delinquent.
Why were you such a hard ass on us? Well, to explain my backstory. No, it's like, what is he doing? When I go into my backstory, I don't understand. Guys, look into the same direction that I'm looking in. Oh.
1,000 years ago into the future.
Wait, 1,000 years ago into the future?
Yeah, that was
Star Wars logic.
No, that was from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I forgot what the character's name was, but it was funny. Anyways, so yeah, and I love his outfit from flashback.
Like, he's got like this cute little bandana and like this military rebellion outfit.
I rebel.
And shut the fuck up.
Father would be proud.
You
know, for a rebel, she listened to a lot of orders. Yep. It's true.
Okay, anyways. So, we also got introduced to Big Bear, who, yeah, he died.
My courage is like a bit. Oh, no, he's dead.
Yeah, he got stabbed with, like, through the fucking
tentacles. Then he exploded himself.
And then, blew himself up.
you could say that he got pierced by tentacles.
Ouch.
Well, that is actually what happened.
That's a lot of hentai. No, I don't want
to. Hentai reference! Woo! But yeah, and then he grabbed onto both of them and just tried to blow himself up, but obviously it didn't fucking work.
No, when Big Bear finds out they're going to make a Brother Bear 3.
I never even seen the first one.
They shut down Disney Toon Studios, so they couldn't really make a third one.
So, like, now the question is, did his jacket survive for show to take, or did he, like, get a new outfit designed exactly the same? Because Big Bear is clearly wearing the same outfit that...
Yeah, but Big Bear exploded.
Also, it's got a hole.
Noble made it when I was live streaming yesterday. Like, Noble and I were talking about while I was playing Battlefront, and he just said, well, maybe just he took one of Big Bear's extras in his closet or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but honestly, it suits Lompo better than Big Bear.
Well, I mean,
Big Bear looks intimidating.
It was, he does. The outfit was clearly designed, like, out of universe. It was clearly designed for him because of the whole Chinese purple dragon thing.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't over. Bears!
Yes.
It's like you just noticed they were bears.
But yeah, so, like, the reason why Lompo was, like, so against, like, all the Key Rangers, like, disobeying his orders and stuff is because he disobeyed a direct order from Big Bear, it got him, Big Bear, killed and kind of destroyed the rebellion for a little while.
Yes, so the rebellion consisting of one guy.
Yep.
Sholampo is the only rebellion
that we know
of.
Then
Raptor was built, and then
he built Raptor. Boom.
And Stinger was already a thing, so we don't know.
Like, where's my Sholampo Acute Ranger story? Where's that?
Can we have a
Sholampo
V
cinema, please?
That would be awesome.
That would actually be awesome.
I would love that.
Just make it Rogue One, a Star Wars story, but throw in Toku characters.
So then, cutting back to the Orion or whatever like that, Kotaro,
Kotaro gets dragged up onto the Orion, and this is just okay with people, I guess.
Because they know him. It's like, oh yeah, hey kid.
Yeah, sure, not only come ride on our spaceship, but when shit goes down, we're gonna hand you the keys. Keep it running.
Oh, shit.
But no, so then, that's the expression, I think. But, yeah, so, like, he keeps challenging Lompo to, like, rock, paper, scissors, and, like, obviously gets his ass kicked, and Lompo's like, ha-ha-ha-ha. And then Lucky's, like, trying to actually be serious, like, hey, what's your fucking deal? And then, yeah,
he explains the story. And then they're like, okay, so we'll rescue Spada tomorrow. And as I predicted, Sholampo tries to sneak off himself during the night to be a badass and save himself.
Oh, Lucky catches on to him.
Guys, it just occurred to me.
Huh?
What has every Sentai villain who's an alien done so far?
Died?
They circle around Earth's orbit.
Okay.
What are the Q-Rangers doing right now?
Orbiting
around
Earth's
orbit.
You think there's going to be a group of people that are going to hate on them because they're invaders?
Well, I mean, when they first got to Earth, there were people like, no, don't resist. So, I don't know.
No, they're just watching over Japan.
But no, the funniest part of the whole episode is when Lucky confronts Sho and he's like, stop being a little bitch and working by yourself.
What?
You've got us with you.
All right, fine. We'll rock, paper, scissors over it. Okay, rock,
paper,
scissors.
Punch!
Like, gut punch.
Just Lucky's punches him in the gut so hard it knocks him out.
Lucky is like, I play paper. And Sho's like, I play fist. What?
No, but it's funny. Like,
fist wins.
I even made a good mention where Lompo knew Lucky was just gonna win. So he's like, I'm just gonna pick Rock because I know he's gonna fucking win.
And no matter what I pick, you're gonna win, so Rock and punch.
Yeah,
gut punch.
It wasn't an
pow,
I'm gonna
right
pick
in the
Rock, it's I'm gonna
pow, right
pretend
in the kidney.
To pick Rock and so I can punch him.
It's like pow, right in the kidney.
It was great though.
Oh.
And so then they go to try to rescue a spot or whatever like that, and like Lompo does pretty decent by himself, actually.
He pulls out a Q shot that he has somehow.
Because
like
he does.
The weapon's a universal weapon, so anyone.
No, it's tied to the Seiza Blaster, which he doesn't have.
But then it occurred to me, that's such a fucking dumb name. Q the weapon.
I like it.
It should have been like the Galaxy
weapon
or something.
I actually really like it when like Japanese
like
weapon names are like
on
something to something.
Yeah, it's like say the change and then
yeah,
say the change.
It's like cue the weapon because it's like a weapon that's nine weapons, but it's also like cue the weapon.
Oh, so
like cue that weapon.
So it's like cue the roll call. Oh shit!
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Webcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment Wielder. Bluecaster. Cheetah Zazil.
Loyal and Lab. Beatcaster Lightred.
Explorer from the Unknown. Yellowcaster. Auto Guard.
One Little Spark of Courage. Dreamcaster. Global Stomp Perka.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Anyways, so then, Lumpo turns into Q-Violet again, or Rio-Violet again, Rio-Violet. I know, I correct myself, fuck you!
Don't fucking stab me.
Then don't fucking correct me when I correct myself. Anyways. Anyways! So he, like, changes it into it again, and then, fights with Spada, and Spada's just like, oh, I'm fighting with you, I don't give a shit. He's like, okay, I have an order for you, don't die.
By the way, did anyone notice that when Madoka and Ikagen kidnapped Spada, they clearly didn't take any of his gear off him?
Right, because he immediately transforms the second he's free of the chains.
Yeah. Freeze the chains, say the change.
They could have, like, just taken his Q-tama, and that would have been the end of it.
It's probably, if he tried anything, they would have just kicked his ass anyway.
Considering how the Q-tama appeared in the first place, he could probably just resummon it to his location.
Yeah, maybe.
The problem is, like, they should have taken the Seiza Blaster.
So then...
Then again, if they didn't know that, that would have been a cool plot point if they did take the Q-tama and he just resummoned it to him, making a whole idea pointless. They just didn't realize that was going to happen.
And I love when Sho tells Spada to, you know, run away, but Spada starts spouting his fucking chef puns.
I'm a high chef.
And I'm just like, we get it, you're a cook, just transform and fight already.
The restaurant is packed, we need two chefs to run the kitchen.
Because I'm a cook.
And then Lucky once again proves why he's the one who keeps this fucking team together and in check. He just literally grabs fucking Lompo, lifts him up, and just goes, why the fuck are you trying to do everything by your goddamn self? There's nine of us. No, you make 10. No, we're better than the fucking legends.
Stop trying to solo it and get all the EXP, you motherfucker.
Pretty much.
Wrong show.
But no, it just showed, like, it's just Lucky's a badass. Oh,
could you imagine?
Could you say that Lucky EXP showed Lonpo?
Oh!
Oh,
God. I want the name of the episode.
Could you guys believe if X8 had, like, EXP points?
Well, I mean, they kind of do level up during the show.
No, I mean, like, legit EXP points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was something resembling that in, like, the episode where X8 first fought Snipe. There was, like, a competitive meter thing going on. So like a score count is what I'm saying.
So then,
I want to explain this.
Okay.
So all the Q-tamas start randomly glowing.
Yep.
Like all nine of them, and they blast together.
Yep.
It turns nighttime.
Yep.
And then Ryu Voyager shows up.
Because the trunk door comes in the night.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, that's a dragon. That's pretty cool. Grant, it's like, just say your wish.
What is your desire?
When you wish upon a star.
Yeah, so literally, Sho Lompo wished upon a fucking star to become a curator.
Not even that. Just curator made a Dragon Ball reference.
Yeah.
Yep.
Last season.
Except now they're nine balls. Okay.
No, Die Ranger, we had the Lili balls. There were seven of them. Zoroger, we had God of Destruction. We have Shenron this. What's next? I legit want to know what's next.
I don't know.
Someone will die like Yamcha.
Speaking of Die Ranger, it seemed that Toei was like, hey, we have another like kind of like Chinese dragon zord, so let's have it fucking
flying in front of the moon.
Yeah.
Pick up on that.
So immediately, Tenshin-da!
I think, yes, it's a reference to
Die Ranger.
You know, the Ryu the Dragon Zord from Die Ranger. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a reference to Serpentera, because he flew by the moon
and was a giant dragon. And even the way they were kind of animating the dragon, it was the same fucking motion.
Yeah.
The coolest thing about the Ryu Voyager is the fact that the Kutama cockpit gets held in its arms
like a
Chinese dragon.
Also, Gar noticed apparently the Ryu Voyager was voiced by Lompo, so...
Yeah, I'm like, who's voicing the... Oh, it's just Lompo, according to the cast notes.
And he gets, like, this, like, gold helmet, and I just went, Greymon!
No, it's Metal Greymon!
Metal Greymon!
Gaia
Blaster!
Tit fire!
Tit missiles.
Tit missiles, yeah.
Oh, God, then, yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
I didn't realize that.
But what we didn't talk about is how fucking swag and badass Ryu Commander is.
And this theme song.
So, yeah, so let's see. He's got, like, a badass changer that's, like, a cane that's also a rifle.
Cane the gun.
He's got a badass fucking helmet.
He's got a trench coat.
He's got a trench coat thingy. He has swag as fuck poses. And he has his own theme song sung by himself.
Oh, I mean, he is in a band.
Okay, but like, still.
There hasn't been anywhere near as much characters singing their own insert songs as there used to be.
That's like, hey, because Toei's cheap motherfuckers. Hey, you're in a band, right? Yeah? Can you sing your own insert theme? All right.
Did doing it as many times as they did for Deno just, like, kill their budget on that, and that's why there haven't been that many of that since?
No. Because,
like, in Deno, there's, like, fucking 30 versions of Double Action and Climax Jump, all sung by the Forms actors, and now there's almost none of that.
Because Deno loved to be very expressive and creative with their shit.
Oh, and Ryu Commander is the Dragon Master, so...
It's not even...
No, I think it's funny.
I think it fits perfectly.
Yeah.
But yeah, they defeat Octopussy.
Yeah,
I'm still calling her Octopussy and Squidward.
But yeah, like,
that is staying throughout the rest of the series.
And that awesome trick shot he pulled.
Or it will if she actually survived that.
Yeah,
Which actually, in the trick shot, Raven noticed that apparently when he fighting her, he already put it to gun mode.
Well, he was fighting Mariko. I watched him switch the fucking staff into gun mode as he was fighting at melee, and just didn't fire it. And I was like, okay, that was a weird little motion for him to have done that in the middle of a fight and not use it. And then 2 seconds later, Ikagen is like trying to snipe him from around a corner, and he just flips the staff under his arm and shoots him from behind himself. No.
That like echoed that scene in Gaim where Baron like,
and I'm just like, oh, that's why he switched to
Mushu from behind.
I'm sorry, that like kicked back to my memory when Deckmaster was on a helicopter.
Oh yeah,
and shot the alienizer with his sword.
Yep.
It's not even a gun. It's just a sword.
Yep.
And he shot him.
Yeah, he was at max health.
D-sword vigor.
Don't quit.
He shot laser swords because he was at max health.
He has the master sword, I guess.
No, but even at like one point, like, Monaco's just like, oh, you should have a time limit. And then he just like kind of flips his
little trench
coat. He's like,
come on. We got all the time in the world. And
you're
don't tell me your time limit doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, which shows that probably if he had more time with Ryu Violet...
Oh, no, that was always it.
Yeah.
It's when he was in Ryu Violet, he was always doing really well against them. And then the time limit would kick in and back to normal. Now you're fucked.
You know what I think was a huge missed opportunity with Ryu Violet? Whenever his time limit was almost up...
Yeah, but I also like that the silver
and
Gary
is shaking his head.
I'm surprised you're not on board with that.
No. He doesn't want Ultraman in his Sentai.
No.
I mean, it was already ruined.
I mean, as more than it already is.
Yeah. There will be the Ultraman reference, just not yet.
So yes,
probably in July.
So yeah, Ryu Voyager shows up because two random Daikons showed up, and it like constricts one and crushes it and explodes it after breathing fire on them.
Oh god, yeah, and also...
And then it just uses Drago Break where it literally just flies past them and it almost explodes.
Yeah, and also, like, Ryu Commander did, like, this awesome Hisatsu where he had to, like, fucking... where he shot, like, the dragon...
Oh yeah, Drago Crush.
Went right through Monaco and it was fucking beautiful.
That was great.
We got to see, like, the innards of his
of the sweater just light up.
Yeah, that was great. Cool. Just everything about Wing Commander is so cool.
So then, like, Amorimar's robot comes stomping from behind a rock. And then, like, Kureno shows up and they do, like, a team attack. And, like, Garu and the Okami Voyager is just there by himself doing absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, man.
Oh, they also did the whole playing the opening during the climactic fight.
That was great. That was good. And it also just looked like Sholongpo was just, like, having, like, the time of his life.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because, like, he's finally, like, being able to fight for real and, like, you know, able to help his friends and stuff like that and his comrades. So he's just, like, having, like... He's having a ball.
He's not only a Cure Rangers mentor, he's also their biggest fan.
That's great. Well, no, Raptor's their biggest fan.
No, but Raptor is one.
No, I know, but technically isn't one. But still, she was like a fucking...
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know.
So, Kotaro ruins Ryu's, or Sho's little monologue at the end, and that was funny.
Oh, yeah, because, like, okay. Old.
Come on, let me be a badass, damn it.
Yeah. Apparently that happens next episode.
No, and also... Okay, go ahead, Gar.
Sholongpo, he's like, now that there's 10 Q Rangers...
Oh, yeah!
Uchu Sentai Jew Ranger.
Because 10.
And then we get an actual Jew Ranger logo, and then everyone's like, no, let's still be Q Ranger. And then just Kotaro's like, well, if I come in, there'll be 11 of us, then we can still be Q-Ranger, right? So I'm like,
God.
I actually have an argument on Facebook with someone about, like, why they're called Q-Ranger, and I'm like, you know, it's not just the number 9. Like, that's obviously the most prominent meaning, but it's also from the words Q-Kyoku and Q-Seishu for Ultimate Saviors.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
Says that in the opening.
Dude, I don't know Japanese.
The tagline of the show is Kyunin no Kyukyoku no Kyuseishu.
That's a lot of Qs.
That's the point!
That is a lot of Qs, actually.
Ghost!
Cue the feature topic.
Featured topic.
Oh my god, that was like... Man, I knew commercial breaks were only like 8 minutes, but... That felt like a half an hour or something. Oh, hi. That's not Emily. Why does everybody keep telling me to shh?
For our featured topic, we're talking about Ghost's second Hyper Battle video.
Thank God it isn't over.
Aircaster and LMP here, you're dead.
No. There's still one more thing.
I know.
I mean, the way this special ended, it wouldn't surprise me if they were ramping up to another movie.
But oh my god, a Ghost special that was actually kind of good. Like, I'm amazed.
Kind of sad and kind of answered some questions.
Wait a minute, you didn't like EQ?
No, that was just... weird and creepy.
You didn't like the Legend Rider specials?
Nope.
Nah.
You guys didn't like Ghostbusters 2016?
I did.
I just didn't care.
A lot of people didn't.
So, as it opens in Gamma Land, after the show, Alone Icon comes to life. It's Sayanji.
Yeah, so apparently he didn't revive until after the end of the show.
So apparently after he got dusted by the Great Eye, he was just stuck in a random Ganma icon and said, you don't get to come back until you've learned your lesson, get to be a good boy.
And at first he doesn't even remember everything he was doing.
Well, that was for the purposes of the people watching to know exactly who he was and what he was doing.
What was he doing again?
The whole point of him was he gathered the icons so he could make a wish, but then the Eiser was like, you're not a protagonist, and promptly ate him.
Shockingly enough, I never watched that episode of Ghost.
What?
Well, it's not like you missed much.
Where Sanji got poofed?
Yeah.
You call yourself a Ghost fan.
No, because you guys were fucking rushing me that week.
Oh, okay.
So I never got to watch Ghost.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But apparently Makoto, Alan, and Kanon have begun their, like, terraforming of the Ganma world.
What's
the first fucking thing they do?
They recreate the
The ghost pit.
Or the base pit.
We call it the ghost pit.
Ghost pit.
Which is really fucked, because, like, you see them, like, going down the stairs, and I'm like, huh, that's clearly the set in Itagiri's basement, only with some rocks on the side. Lights come on! Fuck!
It is the set.
Ghost pit!
And, like, apparently they made,
complete with takoyaki carts!
Yeah, and they got, like, it's like a museum.
Yeah.
A historical museum.
And, like, you see, like, Akari's little, like, ghost gun that she has.
It's like a really weird round of Cards Against Humanity. The AGO has opened an interactive exhibit on Kamen Rider Ghost.
Pit. Throw them into the pit.
Yeah, and there was, like, a DX Yurisen doll there, just to show Yurisen. And then, like, There's different stuff around, like, showing off, and there were, like, little tidbits of info or whatever about, like, said item with, like, Yurisen pointing towards it, and I'm like, God fucking damn it.
So, meanwhile, back in human land, what are that thing, Kujitaku?
Yeah, yeah, we got another one of those, so fuck it.
Every time!
That phrase will never die.
I swear to God... They're going to say it in the X-Men Ghost movie, and I'm not going to
Only
my
Tenkuji Takaru.
Oh, absolutely.
My Tenkuji Takaru.
So Takaru is, for some reason, wondering at this point in the story, well, I wonder why my dad chose these 15 heroes. By the way, my dad is the best hero of them all. If only there was, Raven was saying, if only there was an icon based off my dad.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
That's like, if only there was an icon based on my dad. Oh, shit, I forgot to revive my dad.
I knew I left something off my to-do list.
No, legit. Like, even in the series, they mentioned that, you know, bring him back. And they never did. It's like, shit.
So, King Alan calls our human friends on the Condor phone and says, hey, come on over to our dimension for a visit.
Who claimed him king? Was there a royalty check?
There's no one else right now.
He's the only one with an icon. I'm not going to judge. It's like, why does that make you king? Pulls out, Mega Loader turns in that crumb, whips a rock at the guy. Okay, proceed, king.
It turns out, like, Alan's not just, like, a patriarchal king. Just him, Makoto, and Kanon have, like, a council-type scenario going on.
No, they're gods in the Gamma world
now. Oh, no, it's like in the Simpsons movie. It's like, Mo, what happened? Well, since Springfield went to waste, I am now king of I am now the emperor of everything. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Boom. Okay. Hail, emperor.
Yeah. So, they pack a bunch of luggage and go through a portal with it, and it's, like, disturbingly funny to see...
Could Takaru make portals?
No, Alan made it.
Yeah, but could Takaru make one?
I think he tried and couldn't do it.
Yeah, because...
Alright, why don't we just get Senen to do one?
Because he's fucking who knows where.
He was filming Gourmet thing. I can't remember the actual name of it right now.
I don't know. Noble wants us to talk about that, which we'll get to.
Well, he's going to have to pay up on Patreon.
So Saji goes to, like, Igor's chamber, and there's just, like,
very nice painted
portraits of him.
That's not it. He went back to his old place that Igor took over.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At first we were like, is this some sort of shrine to Igor? And then we're like, no, this is probably just Igor's own room.
Yeah.
I saw the candles and the paintings of him, and I was like, is this like a fucking shrine to this guy? Why?
Wait, no one would worship him, ever.
He would just get slapped around.
He worshipped himself.
There's like the weirdest part is just the Mona Lisa's just hanging out in there. Mm-hmm. Or like a copy of it, who knows?
No, but it's like,
they really don't explain that at all.
Like, it reminded me of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets movie, where just, like, Gilderoy Lockhart's, like, introducing himself as the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, and then he, like, walks down, goes over to a painting of himself painting something in the painting, and just, like, the painting acknowledges him, going, like, yeah, love you, baby.
No, this reminds me of in Bender's Big Score. It's like, Bender, you stole the Mona Lisa. Sorry, that's not finished. It's like the face is missing.
So next on our list of Sionji explanations in this episode, why he sent the Fukami twin or siblings into the Ganma land from that freak experiment.
Test subjects.
Igor wanted human subjects to test on. That's fucked.
So Sionji and Igor were working together from the beginning.
Yep.
I feel like we missed some key scenes. I would like to see some scenes of them talking.
Yeah,
that's in the rebirth.
And it sucks Sionji, maybe. Just, like, they really discarded him so early in the show. It was kind of a shame. Like, he wasn't, like, the best villain, but, like, he was an interesting
character
to the plot. That's what I said.
I at least have to express appreciation that this special even exists to answer a lot of the questions we had. So, Sionji is back, and he puts up his little barrier thing that he did during the show, and he's like, give me the icon so I can make a wish or I'll blow you up!
It's like, dude, great eye's gone.
The flying spaghetti monster left Earth.
No, it didn't.
I don't believe you! Do it anyway!
Alright.
Okay, let's set up the icons. Oh, look, it didn't work.
I still don't believe you! You lying kids, get off my lawn!
Somehow he turned into a drunk Robin Williams.
Apparently,
Doing Popeye.
Apparently it was Edith who told him about this whole Green Eye business in the first place. So now we have even more stupid bullshit to worry about.
Shockingly enough, we find out that Sionji was an archaeologist.
And he ended up working with Tenkuji Ryu because he admired his abilities, which then turned into jealousy.
A.K.A. Hey, yeah, Monolith. Hey, can I see your Monolith? Sure, man.
Why does this man with a hatchet get to summon ghost Pokemon and I don't get to?
Why does Yellow Lion get to have a kid?
Well, then Sayaji does this cool thing where he actually takes out, like, this cool, like, fucking gauntlet.
He repurposed the Ghost Driver from his briefcase into a Power Glove mod.
Oh, God. Can Sayaji just be dubbed over with Mr. Plankett's voice?
What happened to your face?
Jeff. I became jealous, like my son.
Yeah, he literally power gloves a Da Vinci Ganma, which is the only canon appearance.
Because the Ghost Drive movie is canon as fuck.
Never mentioned the drive can.
Like Takeru like reacts surprised at its existence, which confirms.
Oh my god! You can make those. You can make Ganma out of icons. I mean, like, all those other fucking people
in the
entire show?
This was Takeru realizing what was being done the whole show. The Ganma were being spawned from the historical objects.
Which Igor had piled up all over his room.
Which was something that we all picked up on immediately when the show started.
Yeah.
So, I actually like that they went and acknowledged that and that the characters realized that was how the Ganma monsters of the week were being spawned. Mm-hmm. This is actually a really nice thing that the series did. This whole special.
Yeah, fucking closure, finally.
I'm so shocked that Takeru went Mugen. Didn't Mugen vanish?
No, it is spawned from his soul. Yeah.
No, I was kind of concerned too. I'm like, wait, he's alive. Why the fuck can he still use his ghost powers? I'm like, that's weird.
Because he still trains
because
at the
temple. Everybody
temple.
Else has been doing it the whole show while they've been alive.
Makoto's been alive most of the show.
And then when Alan got his body back, he was still fucking transforming.
Although that's a different system.
But, you know.
Anyways.
Life.
Kanon apparently has been getting taught some sick-ass martial arts.
Yeah, like freaking judo chop the fucking detonator out of Sanji's hand. That was fucking badass. Wait, I was like, wow, Kanon did a thing! And it's Kanon, because Kanon's in it.
Yep.
Point that finger again, I'll break it.
Hey, Gar, you were the one who made that joke, so good job. Every time Kanon isn't in something,
it's not Kanon.
So, like, the Da Vinci Ganma gets, like, the shit kicked out of it, and it starts sparking, which then, like, dusts Sionji, but then he comes back because he's a Ganma.
Oh, no, it's like, I can't die.
Oh, apparently I can't die now.
I can't die!
I guess I'm not human anymore.
And he just fucks off.
And now, all my friends are dead, except Photoshop Sionji's face on the dinosaur.
Yeah, he even tries, like, giving, like, this, Takeru trying to tell Sayanji, he's like, no, you are a luminary. Like, see, like, my dad looked up to you, or whatever.
Yeah, and that was actually really interesting. Like,
touching.
So Sayanji, starts reacting with the Mona Lisa, and Takeru spawns an actual ghost-style Da Vinci icon instead of the Ganma icon.
But then there's the one thing before that I want to bring up. The reason why those said 15, luminaries chosen
apparently,
in the first place.
First off, we should mention the fact that apparently Tenkuji Ryu was the one who chose the quote-unquote 15 heroes,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly he chose them all for being not geniuses, but hard workers.
Like how he was.
I get to see Sayaji.
So, I don't think some of them quite fit that bill. Weren't you talking about, like, Tutankhamun?
Yeah, Tutankhamun. You mean the one who was born into everything?
I get to see, like, Sionji, like, he's with Ryu, whatever, like that, and Ryu's just, like, trying to think of the heroes. He's like, Sionji, you're, you know, like, heroes, right? Yeah. Robin Hood was a real hero, right? Yes. Of course he was a real hero. Oh, thanks, Sionji. I'm glad to have you around. Yeah, no problem.
Oh my God. It's like in Simpsons. Real? 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 Oh, I'm sorry, Homer. Robin Hood wasn't a real person. Get shocked.
I'm the ghost of Cesar Chavez. Why do you look like Cesar Romero? Because you don't know what Cesar Chavez looks like.
Accurate.
And it's like, yes, Ben K was a hard worker, even though he was.
He was kind of a hard worker.
He killed people.
Yeah, but he worked really hard at it.
Like Edison and Newton?
Edison was a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, he was a legit.
I heard it's
a did he work hard at being a douchebag?
He worked so hard at being
he
a
wore
douchebag.
The same outfit. No, he legit.
He worked so hard at being a douchebag, he stole shit from his competition.
Yeah.
Tesla.
No, he stole.
That's why that Tesla Gonma was really pissed off.
Yeah. Lane, or Ichi, if it weren't for Thomas Edison, Hollywood wouldn't be a thing.
Also, electricity would be free.
That don't worked. Justify this.
And if it weren't for... Ed, I'm just going to ramble on now.
No, don't.
Okay.
But yeah, so he like tries to give him the icon, whatever, in silence. He's just like, no... No.
I feel like that's a complete missed opportunity because, like, he has the technology of the ghost driver, which he got from Edith. So, how awesome would it be if, like, Sayanji just, like, took the Da Vinci icon and, like, created a new ghost rider with it?
No.
I would love to see that!
No.
I copyrighted that. Shut the fuck up.
Point your fucking finger at me, piece of shit.
Well, go, Randy.
Don't you point those dirty sausages at me!
Shrek 2.
Touch me again, you'll be chicken wings
in the morning. Chicken wings. Well, anyway, Sayonji goes off and that's the end.
He literally wanders off into the sunset.
He's like, that's how it ends.
Wanders
like
off.
Like, collapse.
No. He wandered off into the corner of the room where there isn't a door.
No, there is a door.
No, but then he finds his way outside somehow.
I guess.
That one door in the back, there was like red light coming through it, so that presumably led outside. And so he just wanders through there and just... fucks off into the horizon.
Where is he going? He's going to the Toei office building to pick up his last paycheck.
Yeah, bad.
He's going to pitch the Kamen Rider Sayonji movie.
Just Takaru with, like, Alan and Makoto watching them walk off. What's Sayonji doing, Takaru? His best.
But we did it, guys.
We finished all the ghost. Well, no, we don't have the ghost.
We still have the Pac-Man movie.
Oh, and the Cinem, the
Kamen Rider
reboot.
Yeah, Kamen Rider Spectres.
Spectre movie's gonna be cool.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
it's not gonna have ghost at all. Hopefully,
but yeah, after this, I would love to see like another thing with Sayonji in it.
I would love in the Spectre movie if it just starts with just like.
Oh, great. We already know how it's going to begin.
Yeah.
This was actually a really nice little special. I liked it. It was very touching. And it was cool that we finally got closure on what happened to Sayonji, because just the whole series we were watching this, we're like, what the fuck happened to him? Did he just die? Is he just not a thing anymore? I'm like, so this answered some questions, which was good.
He is now immortal.
He is immortal now.
Yeah, he is still in the Gonma body, so fucking...
He and Narutaki should team up.
Right?
What about
Takeda? What about Ghosto?
So, yeah.
This meet up in the Kamen Rider crossover. What about Takeda? What about Ghosto? Hey. Drinks? Fuck yeah.
So, that is our episode. Thank you all for watching, listening, subscribing, liking, sharing, commenting.
Go check out my show, Into the Amazon, where I talk about... Come on, Amazon. It's a fucking fun time.
Your show.
Yeah, I host it, motherfucker. The blue and yellow are in it, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And noble.
Yeah, and noble.
Noble.
So, everyone, thank you again. As usual, you can check out the primary source of our hijinks at castranger.podbean.com.
Please or Lojinx.
What the
Switching
fuck
Switching it up this time.
What's Lojinx?
I don't know.
It's a slow speed stat.
It's a Jinx without her shins. So it's like Cotton Hill.
Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/rscastranger. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios. And please check out our Patreon and consider pledging to help us make the show better for you.
Now including
exclusive content such as failed recordings.
Now I just want to see Jinx with like Cotton Hill's face. I kill Fitty Pokemon!
I kill Fitty Pokes!
I killed Fitty Pokes.
I killed Fitty Mans.
Thank you all, and we will see you all next week.
You weren't in Okinawa. Yes, it was. You weren't in Berlin. Yes, it was. Fucking Cotton Hill's the best character in Game Hill.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird.
Thanks very much.